You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio, and I welcome my colleague, Elizabeth Peake, Liz Peake, a columnist at The Hill and at Fox News, often on Fox Business, the economy and the politics of the economy. Liz, I put them together in a testimony of my first shot for the COVID-19. It was a Moderna shot in a parking lot in the rain, Danbury Mall, behind what used to be a busy Macy's. Now the parking lot is empty, except for a National Guard unit. Young people who were combining being in the rain with processing us senior citizens in our vehicles and doing their homework because they're volunteers. The whole process from arrival to exit took 30 minutes. 15 of those minutes were the required wait to see if you have any reaction. I checked my identity, my passport on the dash. They had me corresponded on their iPads. The nurse who came out to give me the shot was extremely polite and straightforward. It was not only me, it was me. The checking, the identity was overwhelming. Now, I leave that parking lot knowing there's a second shot to come. I went on the Connecticut site, nothing fancy. Right there, it was possible to schedule the second shot the day after I was eligible in the same Danbury Mall, and I'm presuming the National Guard unit. The reason I give all these details is that Macy's store that didn't have anybody in it. Liz, I'm vaccinated. I'm protected. Millions of us are being vaccinated. That's got to show up in the economy. That Macy's store has to react to the fact that we're ready to shop again. Do you see it in the economy now? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Absolutely do you see it. It is everywhere. It may have been rainy and miserable in Connecticut. Maybe that's why the parking lot was empty, save the National Guard unit. I'm in Florida, and I can tell you people are out and about and shopping. But it isn't just anecdotal, John. We know this is true. And I will cite to you what Ed Hyman, the head of ISI Evercore's research group, said to clients this week, which is literally they weekly do a survey of companies across the country to get soundings on how business is going. His word is it exploded. They have never seen survey results come back as positive for many sectors, including foremost this week, retail. He said it just literally blew off the charts. Highest overall readings for their company surveys in 15 years. And to back that up, he's getting emails and testimonials from all over the country, people saying, wow, traffic is horrendous again. People are, you know, fighting for parking lots at Woodbury Commons, which is a discount mall in upper New York State, et cetera, et cetera. There is no question that the combination of vaccines, and just by the way, the United States right now has vaccinated at least one dose for seniors of almost 70%, but a quarter of Americans have received at least one dose. So that is a huge change in just a couple of months. Like you, those people are feeling secure. They're ready to go out to stores and malls and restaurants, and that's showing up in spending. But you add to that a boom in consumer net worth because of home prices and stock prices being at all-time highs. Consumer net worth is up about 20%. That leads spending and GDP growth by about 6 months, but it's been going very strong for the last couple of quarters. That plus the vaccines, plus the checks in the mail, And you have a recipe for an economy that is in liftoff. And I think, honestly, I also think there is a celebratory mood, at least amongst the people I'm seeing here in Florida. People are over this virus. They want to get out. They want to have a party. No one's actually having parties, but they can't wait till that happens. And, you know, the younger generation is very excited, even though they haven't gotten vaccinated. They know it's only a month or two away, and weddings are being replanned and put back on the calendar, et cetera. So I think the whole country, the mood of the country is celebratory. It's excited. And frankly, now they have the money to back that up. I mean, frankly, they did before this $1.9 trillion atrocious bill. But the reality is now there's money to burn, and it's going to be burned.
The missing figure here is the forest. There's no lumber, Liz. There's no lumber anywhere to be found. So although people want to spend money, you tell me the housing number is down. Why is that?
Well, existing home sales are down 6.6% in February compared to January. But really, no one's terribly shocked. The reason is there are no homes for sale. People who have moved out of cities are holding on to their houses. Usually, you know, when house prices go up, there's a lot of turnover. There isn't right now because there's just no inventory. There's literally, like, I think there's a million houses for sale across the entire United States. That, I think, is a record low. There is no inventory. So we need a building boom. You know, John, if you look back, remember the housing bubble back in 2007, 2008, which collapsed. We had many years then of underbuilding. And by that, I mean not building enough houses to take care of the families that were being formed and that wanted houses. And then you've had sort of uncertainties for people stayed with during the virus, of course, lived with their parents. Now, there is a huge demand, and there's nothing to supply it. And to your point, the raw materials prices are up gigantically, so costs are up, and also there's a shortage. So it's going to take a while. I'd say housing is going to be strong for quite a while, with mortgage rates, particularly at record low levels, inching up to be sure, but still very, very low levels. I think the demand for housing is going to be strong for the foreseeable future. That's a pretty darn good segment to look at for investing.
Macro, Mr. Powell remains cautiously dovish for some time. At the same time, we're talking about the market responding to the revival by selling off the bond market, that is, rates are climbing, and hesitating on tech stocks, which have been the haven for big money, and going into cyclical stocks, which means that the recovery is underway. So Wall Street is recognizing the recovery. The Federal Reserve seems reluctant. Washington seems reluctant. It's as if Washington still believes it's the winter of our gloom.
Yeah, Joe Biden, I think, is so behind the curve of where the public is. But, you know, look, they're scared that there's going to be another surge in virus cases. I think the vaccine rate really should ameliorate that concern, but it hasn't. I think some of it's manufactured because Joe Biden wants to take credit not only for conquering COVID, which I think is going to be a pretty tough case to make since the vaccine is definitely conquering COVID, and that really is Operation Warp Speed and Trump's doing. But, you know, Joe Biden also wants to take credit for an accelerating economy, and ditto, hard to do that when it's already taking place when you take office. Nonetheless, I think his tone is absolutely wrong. I think he should be out there as a cheerleader in chief right now and riding this wave. I mean, you know, really, Joe Biden has got to be the luckiest guy to ever take the Oval Office in so many respects. But one is that everything is going in the right direction for him, which kind of leads him only to be able to muck things up. So is that possible? Could he possibly derail this economic engine that is so firmly on track right now? Yes. How could that happen? First of all, by convincing the country that there is bad news out there and they should be cautious, because right now caution is being thrown to the winds. You want people spending these $1,400 checks, not putting them in savings accounts, which is, you know, something that the Fed, I think, was concerned about. You want people being optimistic and markets going up and so forth. The big concern is, yes, inflation, and there, as you know, there are price hike indications all over the place. Lots of prices are going up. whether it's raw materials like we just talked about with lumber, commodities, rents. Rents is something which has been sort of an anchor to Wayward in terms of keeping inflation at bay. Rents are now starting to move. Wages probably will follow. That'll be an important thing to watch. But if inflation really begins to increase, that will make markets nervous, and some of this good news will be reversed. The other thing, though, and you have to say this is totally in the hands of this administration, is tax policy. And they're talking about ramping up taxes to a level that will mean the marginal income tax rate, state and local in some states, reaches 70%. Now, you know, you don't have to be a gloom and doom artist to think that that's going to deter investment and hiring. I think it will. And I think that is a serious possible speed bump ahead. They are very eager to redistribute the country's wealth. And I think they're indifferent to the impact that might have on growth. I think that is a huge mistake.
Liz, I make only a slight ironic remark that the Biden administration is going to raise us up and up. So we're just like Europe. My goodness, Liz, have you seen what's going on in Europe? Not only are they frightened of another wave, they can't get the vaccine right. The Europeans have looked down their noses, I think that's a fair thing to say, at Donald Trump and his administration, did not order enough vaccine, don't trust the vaccine they have. That's our best trading partner over there, and they're completely tied down with fear.
They are, and they have only themselves to blame. As you say, they rolled out a vaccine. I mean, you know, this is one of these situations where having to have 27 countries agree on something was probably a disastrous idea, but it was centrally organized vaccine procurement, inadequately done, and they fastened onto AstraZeneca, which, of course, then in response to a few isolated problems, they basically, many of the countries in the EU shut down using the vaccine pending further tests, and then to compound their problem, they came back and said, oh, no, no, we were just kidding. It's perfectly fine, except that we can't dismiss or we can't definitively rule out the fact that it causes this rare form of blood clot. So that leaves people in the EU saying, wait a minute, what? Is it safe? Is it not safe? It's extremely unclear. The efficacy of the vaccine is not as good as Pfizer's and Moderna's. Not terrible. It's certainly better than not having a vaccine. But if it's unsafe, I can really imagine that a lot of people in Europe are going to be saying, well, I'm 35, I'm healthy. Why should I do this? Why should I take a chance with a blood clot issue? Yes, to your point, they have really mucked this up. They're having to shut down again in some countries. They are way behind the curve. And, you know, look, they always think they know better than the United States. And they really thought that when Donald Trump was in charge of our country. I think this is a moment where, yes, the bureaucracy of Brussels is costing that organization big time.
Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the crisis in the administration right now, and it's not the virus. It's the border. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.